Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Isn't it great to be in God's house today? I'm glad you didn't have to shovel your snow out and make your way here. I'm glad it's not minus 14 or whatever it is in different places. I love being here in California. And in fact, I got news for you. I was just in Orlando this past week. And when I was in Orlando, it was 45 degrees. And so you don't normally think of Orlando being that cold. I'm sure on down further south in Florida was not, you know, it wasn't 45. But man, it's a joy to be here. I hope you're just rejoicing in the Lord. God's so good, isn't he? And, you know, April 5th is going to be Easter this year. Can you believe that? Easter. Now we're looking at Easter, getting musical ready. And man, we're excited about Easter coming up. This gives you an opportunity to invite some friends. That's the one time of the year in which people who generally say, well, I'll come sometime, that might be the sometime they'll come. And all of you probably have some friend or somebody you can bring. And I want to encourage you to try to begin to pray, put down their names, begin to pray about someone you can bring to the Easter service. Somebody that maybe you've been burdened about, someone who's maybe perhaps been going through some problems. Man, what a great opportunity to bring them to hear, hear the songs about Easter and to hear the message about Christ and what Christ can do in their life. And so this series that we're going to be looking at is going to build us all the way up to the Easter time on April 5th. And so over the next several weeks, we'll be looking at different parts building up to that particular event. We're excited about that. And does it mean that God can't save somebody today? It just simply means that this is a good opportunity for those who aren't here today to bring them and have them come to the Easter service. And by the way, sometimes I've heard of people saying things like, well, you know what? They only come once a year. Thank God they come once a year. I'm thinking about how many people that don't come at all, ever. And so I'm very thankful for those who come. And so it's always an exciting time to be able to see people and share the truth of the gospel. And so I'm glad that you've come today. I was reading this week. I've been praying about this series for quite a while. And I was reading this week about something that people struggle with in life. I don't know about you, but I've dealt with it in my own life. It's the area of guilt. We all struggle with the area of guilt. And I ran across a lot of information on guilt and how people deal with guilt and other things. And I ran across on an article called on the Psych Central website. And, I know we can kind of psychoanalyze everything in life, and that's not what my intent is. But I ran across something I thought was very interesting. A lady wrote a book entitled Beyond Blue, and her name is Therese Borchert. And she wrote in the book about things that she feels guilty about, and I felt like that connected with a lot of us. And here's what she said. She said, there's a voice that says, I'm doing something terribly wrong, and that I'm a horrible person. In other words, she felt like that she's doing something terribly wrong, and she's a horrible person. And then she goes on, and she writes in the book, and she says she has a list of things that she feels guilty for. And maybe some of you can connect. She says everything from not cleaning the house to letting kids eat more candy to worrying too much to being overly candid with her writing or even with overeating. She feels guilty about those things. And that's just a few things. But have you ever thought about this, that guilt will lead to depression? That the more guilt that people have, they have the propensity to go right into depression. And then they get to the place where, other things take place. They begin to have, with this depression, they have these difficulties of maybe with security, and they begin to feel insecure. Maybe they have self-doubt. And some people, strangely enough, even go to the point of harming themselves because of the guilt that they suffer. So a lot of people deal with guilt, but guilt is something that God uses. And whether we realize it or not, that God uses guilt for a reason. That guilt that you and I experience when we sin is nothing more than God's way of bringing us to himself. God wants us to come to him. And so as we bear this problem of guilt, we carry with us this guilt in different ways. God's using that for us to so we can just surrender and come to him. In fact, the Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. Now, here's the part I want you to see. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Do you realize that God wants you to worship him? He's looking for you to worship him. He's seeking you to worship him. And so when we have this guilt, what really God is trying to do is he's trying to bring us to himself. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to realize that he is there for us. And that we come to him and we can bring, if you would, our guilt and all of these burdens and this insecurity and this depression and all the things we're dealing with. We bring that to God so that God can take care of that for us. But there are, strangely enough, there's a lot of people that just keep on carrying the guilt. You know, some people are trapped into religious systems. And in those religious systems, they carry guilt all the time because, you know, they look at these set of rules that they cannot ever measure up to. They cannot ever fulfill. They look at those things and they carry that guilt every day. And some live very miserable lives because they carry that weight of guilt. People try, and then people go even further to try to get rid of the guilt by trying to pay it back. So they'll bargain with God. Well, God, if I know I've got a lot of this on me, a lot of this you know, that I'm carrying in my life, this sin, this guilt about my sin. So God, I'll make a deal with you. If you'll take care of that, I'll be a better Christian. Or I'll live closer to your laws. Or I'll go to church more. Or I'll give more. Or I'll pray more. And so what we do is we're trying to bargain with God to get rid of the guilt. Because we can't stand it anymore. We can't carry that. It's like a load, you know, a heavy load that you carry around. It's like that proverbial, load on your back that you're carrying around. And so what you want to do is you have this tendency to want to just kind of surrender to God and say, God, you know, I want to get rid of it. And the way I'll get rid of it is, Lord, I'll just be a better person. I'll do more things for you. I promise you, I'll go out door knocking every week. And so we can drive ourselves to doing that, thinking that somehow or another by maybe going out door knocking or maybe doing more of this or maybe doing more of that, that somehow or another we're going to take care of that. That we can work it out. In fact, you might say it this way, the emphasis is more on what we do than rather what God does. And so there's a lot of Christians, that's what they do. They try to bargain with God, and they still feel guilty because they cannot have that relief, and so they're looking for that. Maybe today you're like that. Maybe you're like that. You're under the load of guilt. You know, you're kind of carrying it around, and you know that. And I think sometimes teenagers carry a load of guilt. And then, you know, it's strange because when they carry that load of guilt, and they know they've done wrong, then they just try to somehow or another, they want to, you know, just do more things to try to make God happy. You know, it's a funny thing. Sometimes adults are the same way. They just carry that. And I look at people that will say things to me like this. They'll say, you know, if I come to church, I just know the ceiling's going to cave in on me. Anyone ever heard that? You know what that is? That's guilt right there. And then there's some people that are afraid to come to church, quite frankly. You know, they're afraid if they're going to come to church that maybe, I don't know, maybe God might strike them or something. I don't know. Some people do. They think that because they carry guilt in their life. And you know, sometimes, you get discouraged because, you know, you're trying to invite them and you want them to come to church to hear the gospel. And maybe even this Easter, you might try to invite your friend and they won't come or something. And you know, it's easy to get really upset about that or get frustrated or perhaps maybe get disappointed. And then, you know, what happens is, you know, we wonder about that. Why do they do that? Well, they're under guilt. And so one of the ways they do that is they just say, well, you know, the best way to deal with that is not face the issue of guilt. Not face what the real issue is. Not deal with it like we really should. And I think Christians are that way too. They're almost like some people that get out of church, and I've heard people say something like this, well, you know, I've been out of church so long, I'd be embarrassed to go back. Why? Why would anyone be embarrassed to go back? I mean, is not this the place where we're to come? Let me ask you a question. If God loved us so much that he was willing to save us, don't you think God loves us so much he'd be willing to forgive us? I mean, think about it. You know, and yet we carry this guilt around, and we're kind of loaded down, you know, with this guilt because we're like, man, I don't know if I can, you know, I don't know how I can deal with all of that. And so often we are so tempted to try to carry it and pay it back. And we might not be depressed maybe necessarily about our job or maybe depressed about our family, but we can be depressed about our relationship to God. And we can feel insecure. And how many times have I had people come to church and say something to me like, you know, they come to church, they hear the gospel preach or whatever it is that they're dealing with, and they hear those things, and then as they're there, they might raise their hand thinking that they're not saved. When really they might know Christ as Savior, they just have pushed God away so much, and God has convicted them, and they just carried the heavier the load, and the longer they carried the load, the more conviction they felt, and they felt that God must be so mad at them that they've lost their salvation or they're not saved anymore, or they never were saved or whatever the case is, and so they carry that around. But how do we deal with that? I mean, where do we take that? Well, in this series, we're dealing with the cross. And by the way, the cross is the place of forgiveness. And that's what I want to talk to you, that's what I want to preach on this morning. The cross is the place of forgiveness. In Luke chapter 23, would you take your Bibles and turn with me there, please? In Luke chapter 23, God shows us that he is the God that forgives. And I'm so glad that God forgives. How about you? Amen? He is the God of the second chance. There is this place where we can take our guilt, where we can take our burdens, where we can take that depression, that heaviness of carrying the fact that we have sin in our life, we have a place where God says we can take it, and that's to the cross. Notice here in the passage that we have Jesus here. In the midst of all this story, and I'm just going to draw your attention to a couple of verses, but in the midst of this entire story, and we will kind of analyze different parts of this over the next several weeks. But as we look at this story, we're going to see that God shows us that the foundation, that the very core of what his words from the cross mean is that of forgiveness. You see, without forgiveness, everything else matters not. We must have the forgiveness of God. And I've had some people say to me something like this, you know, you don't know how much I've sinned. I don't know that God can forgive me. Let me tell you, God is willing to forgive every one of us. God will take us right where we are. Thank God for that. You know, the time period we're looking at here is 29 AD. And that's a Thursday. So many have debated over whether he was crucified on a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, but I happen to believe it was a Thursday. I believe the time period is between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Christ's crucifixion was not Friday because Matthew 12, verse 40 said that Jesus was of necessity 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So he had to have died around 3 p.m. on Thursday. Then they placed him in the heart of the earth on Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, rising 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. So the time period we're looking at here that we'll read about here in Luke chapter 23 on the cross is probably Thursday between 9 and 3 p.m., 9 a.m., 3 p.m. I'll call your attention, if you would please, to verse 33 and 34. And the Bible said, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. The place where he was called the place of the skull. This is a picture of what is called the place of the skull. I showed this to you last year around Easter time. But as you can see, this is the picture. And actually, we're kind of on a little mountain looking down into this place. And the truth of the matter is, he was not crucified on the hill. He was at the place of a hill. So more than likely, probably where those buses are is where Jesus was crucified. And it was there at that place where they crucified the Savior. If you look at the rocks and the indention in the rocks, it has the picture of a skull, doesn't it? Looks like a skull. It's called the place of a skull. And if you were to kind of look at it from different viewpoints, you could see it very clearly looks like a skull. Interesting part about this is this same place that when we look at it, this is where Jesus was crucified, there at the foot of the mountain, more than likely. You know, you say, well, I thought it was on a mountain. So did all the rest of us until I went to Israel. Because a lot of people think, you know, on a hill far away. Well, actually, it says, if you read it in Scripture, it doesn't say it was crucified on a hill. It was at the place. It was there at that place where Jesus was crucified. Something more interesting in that is also the fact that not only was Jesus crucified there, but that was the same place, right there where the buses are, right there at that spot, is where Stephen was stoned. And if you go and you study Stephen's life out, you will find what Stephen did is that Stephen, when he was being stoned by the people because of the preaching of the gospel, do you remember what he said? He said, lay not this sin to their charge. Guess where he learned that from? Guess where he saw that? He knew that. So it was in the same spot. That spot right there is a place of forgiveness. And by the way, just to let you know, the church is not a place of judgment. It's a place of forgiveness. Because here at this church, we are not about judging people. We let God take care of the judgment. We're here about forgiveness. And when somehow or another our hearts are unforgiving, we've missed the whole message of Christianity, because Christianity is a message of forgiveness. It's about the fact that we can be forgiven, that God offers to us forgiveness. In fact, this is the whole heart of Christianity. This is everything about it, because a man now he's a guilty sinner, but he can be right with God. And the only way that a man can be right with God is he has to be right with God through the death of Jesus Christ. And more, I'm thankful today that I can be forgiven and I can be right with God. I'm thankful today that God made possible for you and for me that we can be forgiven. You see, Jesus prayed for forgiveness, and that expresses his tremendous love and devotion to mankind. No doubt about it that the message of the cross is that of forgiveness, and man is broken, and we need forgiveness. In fact, can I remind you of this? Every one of us are broken in here. And we need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I like what the Bible says about the forgiveness. It fulfills all of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 53, that great passage where it speaks of the crucifixion of Christ as prophesied. And in verse number 12, the Bible says these words, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You see, forgiveness is possible through Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm so glad that every person in here, even if you are carrying a load of guilt, even though you are depressed, even though you are feeling as though maybe the weight of all of this whole world is on your back, and maybe you're carrying all of that, but I want you to know that you don't have to carry the guilt of sin. Sin has been taken care of by Jesus Christ, and the cross is still available for us. I love the song, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. In other words, Jesus Christ, he's the one that did it all. Forgiveness is possible through him. Maybe not through somebody else, and maybe you might struggle with forgiving yourself, but let me tell you, there's no struggle with God, because God will forgive all those who come unto him. And I'm so glad that God offers that to us. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Why can that happen? Well, let me tell you why first. It's because God is our Savior. Jesus Christ become the Savior. There are two verses that back up everything that I'm telling you this morning. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5 says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for many. You realize that Jesus Christ gave himself for all of this world? But then there's another verse. It says, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, biblical forgiveness then is relief from the infraction of sin. And that's what it's about. I mean, the fact is that we are not perfect. We are just forgiven people. Isn't that a blessing? Every one of us in here, none of us are perfect. Not one of us. None of us on this platform is perfect. And the fact is that none of us are ever perfect, but we all can be forgiven through Jesus Christ. Thank God he made that possible. That's what this message is all about. That's what this whole hope is all about, that we aren't perfect people. We are just simply forgiven people. And we know the way to be forgiven. And we know the relief that we can have from our infraction. We know all of that can be possible through Jesus Christ. But so many people are trying to be forgiven their own way. So many people want to do it themselves. You know, they want to turn a new leaf over in life, or they want to maybe take a religious ritual like baptism or the Lord's Supper and think that that's somehow to do it. Or maybe I join a church and become a confirmed member. Or maybe somehow or another, I bargain with God about doing more for this and more for that. Or maybe I give more to the poor. Maybe I do this or do that. So many people want to try to have their forgiveness themselves. We can't have it ourselves. We'll never be able to take care of it ourselves. The guilt will only get worse. The only way we can be forgiven is through Jesus Christ. Thank God that he makes that possible. Now this morning, let me ask you this. Where's your forgiveness coming from? I mean, really, if you're carrying guilt, around and maybe you haven't read your Bible this week and you feel real guilty about that. Or maybe there's some things in your life that you don't want anyone to know about but God knows about, and you're carrying some guilt about that. Or maybe it's something inside of your heart. Maybe it's an unforgiving spirit. Maybe it's a lust that you've been dealing with. Maybe it's some thoughts of things that you would not want anyone to know about, and you're carrying a guilt about that. Can I tell you this morning? God can forgive you. He wants to forgive you. We all have to make our way to the cross daily. The cross is there for every one of us. Or maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. You've been trapped into a religious system. And maybe it's the fact that, you know, that you say, well, the reason why I know that I'm right with God is because I'm a good person. Well, you've only deceived yourself. The Bible says if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are sinners. We can't do enough good things, and that's why Jesus came. And Jesus says to us, if you're here today without Christ, that you can be forgiven. The only place to be forgiven is at the cross of Jesus Christ. Maybe you came here today and you're a Christian, and you're carrying some things. You know, I thank God there's a verse in the Bible that says we can be forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't it a blessing that we can have a God that forgives us right where we are? Forgiveness means relieving us. That means taking the guilt away, taking the depression away, taking the burden away. Because you see, every time that we sin, there's nothing but a burden that weighs on us. Every time we fall into that, we just kind of feel that weight of that guilt and that burden, and it weighs us down. And God says, boy, when you make it right with me, it's lifted. Now, we're used to that. We're used to that because couples every now and then, I know it sounds a little bit odd, but every now and then couples have disagreements. I mean, they do. They have disagreements. On this trip, I saw some people disagreeing publicly. It's always kind of funny to watch couples fight publicly. I don't know what it is, but you want to watch it. I guess you kind of want to see who wins, don't you? You know, is it the husband or the wife? And, you know, is she going to win? And normally, I'll be honest with you, it's the wife. She normally wins. Okay. But, you know, we're fighting. And every now and then, you have that. But you know what the best part about the fight is? The making up. And you know the best part about the fact that God says even though we're sinners is the making up part. Now, it doesn't give us excuse to go ahead and sin. But the best part is that God runs to us when we come home. I love that, you know, when the prodigal son comes, And his dad sees him. The Bible says he runs to him. You see, God's seeking you. He wants you to come. He wants you and I to come back to him because he wants you and I to know that he can forgive us and that he wants to forgive us. And the real secret is just kneeling at the cross. Just kneeling there and saying, "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I messed up. I know that there's things in my life that I would be embarrassed for anyone to know about. I'm asking you to cleanse me. I'm asking you to please forgive me. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help me to have a new start today. Lord, that you would lift the burden and restore into me, as David said, the joy of my salvation. Because God's willing to forgive you." That's what the message of the cross is. The cross is that of forgiveness. The cross is that of the pointing to the fact that Jesus took care of it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God wants to forgive you. And that's my message this morning. God wants to forgive you. And I want you to think about this. It's good to know that when you're forgiving, everything's right. I mean, honestly, it's like when we're forgiven, our lives are just so relieved of the burden. It's like the morning maybe when you get up after you've been camping on the lakeside. And you look out and it's just a beautiful morning, just as the sun's beginning to rise. And I know some of you don't know, but the sun doesn't just pop up, it slowly rises. But as it rises, and you look out across that beautiful water, and you can hear the birds singing. You see the trees by the lake. And there's such a calmness, such a pleasantness. There's such a peacefulness. And God says that's what forgiveness is in our lives. I hope today, as you come here, if you need forgiveness, you know what you need to do? Come here and kneel and ask God's forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you right where you are. You say, "Well, I'd be embarrassed for anyone to know." No one's asking you to let anyone know. But God knows. Why don't we just start with that? Why don't we just come here today, and maybe it's a couple, maybe it's a husband and wife, maybe it's some children, maybe it's a teenager. Why don't we just come today, right here at the altar, and just say, "You know what? I just want to get a clean, fresh start. I want to leave here with knowing that I've been cleansed, knowing that I've been forgiven. I'm tired of carrying the guilt of sin in my life. I just want to get forgiveness with God." The whole core, the whole foundation, the hub of everything is this: forgiveness with God is possible through Jesus Christ. Let's pray.